From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. I am the host of the Bard Brawl. With me, as always, is the one and only master of the English Renaissance, but not the Italian Renaissance, Mr. Eric Jean.
Woohoo! Hey.
There he is. So, today we have sort of a special treat. We're giving you Act 4, Scene 1 of The Merchant of Venice, as recorded a couple months ago in studio. We'd done a promo a couple months ago for a radio station, and so we're just going to use that recording now. So I'll just introduce who is reading, because they're not here with me. It's just me and Eric here. Mm-hmm. Ardnell LeBlanc will be reading Bassiano. Amrit Sanger, the actor, will be reading Shylock. He's an actor. He was in the Fringe Festival.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's quite something. He is actually quite
Thespian.
Something. That shouldn't sound sarcastic, but it sort of did. We love Amrit. Julianne May, my baseball writer for my sports blog, will be Graziano. He does a great job. Stephanie Forrester reads Nerissa. Rebecca Salomon reads The Duke. You, Eric Jean, read Antonio as per normal.
Exactly.
And I was reading Portia. I went with the girl role for that for some reason. And Stephanie Coleman does the stage directions. So Act 4, this play is interesting because Act 4 is the scene. Act 3 is sort of the build-up, and all of the relationships are kind of settled by the end of Act 3. And then we have Act 4, which is the court tribunal.
Yeah.
This is why this play, if done correctly, is quite amazing, because you have all of these different elements to it.
Yeah, that first scene in Act 4, I mean, it's a fairly lengthy scene. It's the courtroom scene, and it's basically where this whole matter of the pound of flesh is decided. Shylock, on the one hand, has the sort of law on his side that entitles him to take that pound of flesh from Antonio, and Portia, who's disguised as a lawyer, basically.
Yeah, we saw that last act.
Yeah, and she's disguised, and she is basically, I guess, sort of arbitrating, serving as an arbiter for the case, and she's trying to convince Shylock to repent, to leave his bond and say, listen, be merciful, take the money. We brought you, like, twice the amount of money here. Just take it and go home. He decides he wants to push it, and so she flips it on him.
Well, don't ruin it. Oh. They're going to hear it.
Anyways.
But the theme I think you're getting at is the mercy versus justice.
Yeah, law versus justice.
Law versus justice.
And, yeah, the idea that that law is, in a sense, an imperfect form of justice, and that mercy is required to get sort of divine, proper, or I guess they'd say Christian, justice.
Right. And this one reminds me a bit of Measure for Measure, which is a similar type of mercy, justice, law. Yeah.
Well, they were written not too far apart, so I think it makes sense.
Both really similar. Good. Both, quote, comedies, but not, you know, comedy in the funny sense, but... All right, here we go. Act 4, Scene 1.
Venice, a court of justice. Enter the Duke, the Magnificos, Antonio, Bassanio, Graziano, Salerio, and others.
What? Is Antonio here?
Ready, so please, your grace.
I am sorry for thee. Thou art come to answer a stony adversary, an inhumane wrecked, incapable of pity, void and empty from any drama of mercy.
I have heard your grace hath taken great pains to qualify his rigorous course, but since he stands obdurate, and that no lawful means can carry me out of his envy's reach, I do oppose my patience to his fury, and am armed to suffer with the quietness of spirit the very tyranny and rage of his.
Go on and call the Jew into the court.
He is ready at the door. He comes, my lord.
Enter Shylock.
Make room and let him stand before our face. Shylock, the world thinks, and I think so too, that thou but leads this fashion of thy malice to the last hour of act, and then this thought, thou shall thy mercy and remorse more strange than is thy strange apparent cruelty, and where thou now exacts the penalty, which is a pound of this poor merchant's flesh, thou wilt not only lose the forfeiture, but touch with human gentleness and love. Forgive a moiety of the principal, glancing an eye of pity on his losses that have of late so humbled on his back, and now to press a royal merchant down and pluck commiseration of its state from brassy bosoms and rough hearts of flint, from stubborn Turks and Tartars never trade, to offices of tender courtesy. We all expect a gentle answer, Jew.
I have possessed your grace of what I propose, and by our holy Sabbath have sworn to have the due and forfeit of my bond. If you deny it, let the danger light upon your charter and your city's freedom. You'll ask me why I rather choose to have a weight of carrion flesh than to receive 3,000 ducats. I'll not answer that, but say it is my humor. Is it answered? What if my house be troubled with a rat, and I be pleased to give 10,000 ducats to have it baned? What, are you answered yet? Some men there are love, not a gaping pig. Some that are mad if they behold a cat, and others, when the bagpipe sings, oh, the noise, cannot contain their urine. For affection, mistress of passion, sways it to the mood of what it likes or loathes. Now, for your answer, as there is no firm reason to be rendered, why he cannot abide a gaping pig, why he a harmless necessary cat, why he a woolen bagpipe, but a force must yield to such enviable shame as to offend himself being offended. So I can give no reason, nor will I not. More than a lodged hate and certain loathing, I bear Antonio, that I follow thus a losing suit against him. Are you answered?
This is no answer, thou unfeeling man, to excuse the current of thy cruelty.
I am not bound to please thee with my answers.
Do all men kill the things that they do not love?
Every offense is not a hate at first.
Every offense is not hate at first.
Huh. What, wouldst thou have a serpent sting thee twice?
I pray you, think you question with the Jew? You may as well go stand upon the beach and bid the main flood bait his usual height. You may as well use question with the wolf why he hath made the ewe bleak for the lamb. You may as well forbid the mountains of pines to wag their high tops and to make no noise when they are fretted with the gusts of heaven. You may as well do anything most hard as seek to soften that which what's harder, his Jewish heart. Therefore, I do beseech you, make no more offers. Use no farther means, but with all brief and plain conveniency, let me have judgment and the Jew his will.
For thee, 3,000 ducats, here is 6.
What judgment shall I dread doing, were it in 6 parts and every part a ducat? I would not draw them. I would have my bond.
How shalt thou hope for mercy, rendering none?
What judgment shall I dread doing no wrong? You have among you many a purchased slave, which, like your asses and your dogs and mules, you use in abject and in slavish parts because you bought them. Shall I say to you, let them be free, marry them to your heir, to your heirs? Why sweat they under burdens? Let their beds be made as soft as yours, and let their palates be seasoned with such viands? You will answer, the slave are ours. So do I answer you, the pound of flesh, which I demand of him, is dearly bought. 'Tis mine, and I will have it. If you deny me, fie upon your law. There is no force in the decrees of Venice. I stand for judgment. Answer, shall I have it?
Upon my power, I may dismiss this court, unless Bellario, a learned doctor, whom I have sent for determine this, come here today.
My lord, here stays without a messenger, with letters from the doctor, new come from Padua.
Bring us the letter. Call the messenger.
Good cheer, Antonio. Want a man courage yet? A Jew shall have my flesh, blood, bones, and all, ere thou shalt lose for me one drop of blood.
I am a tainted wether of the flock meetest for death. The weakest kind of fruit drops earliest to the ground, and so let me. You cannot be better employed, Bassanio, than to live still and write mine epitaph.
Enter Nerissa, dressed like a lawyer's clerk.
Came you from Padua? From Bellario?
From both, my lord. Bellario greets your grace.
Presenting a letter.
Why dost thou whet thy knife so earnestly?
To cut the forfeiture from that bankrupt there.
Not on thy soul, but on thy soul, harsh Jew. Thou makest thy knife keen, but no metal can. No, not the hangman's axe. Bear half the keenness of thy sharp envy. Can no prayers peace thee?
No, none that thou hast with enough to make.
Oh, be thou damned, inexcurable dog, and for thy life let justice be accused. Thou almost makest me waver in my faith, to hold opinion with Pythagoras, that souls of animals infuse themselves into the trunks of men thy courage spirit, governed a wolf who hanged for human slaughter. Even from the gallows did his fell soul fleet, and whilst you laced in thy unhallowed dam, infused itself in thee, for thy desires are wolvish, bloody, starved, and ravenous.
Who is Graziano?
He's Bassanio's friend.
Okay.
Best buddy.
Okay, I'm like, why is he here?
Till thou canst rail the seal from off my bond, thou but offence thy lungs to speak so loud. Repair thy wit, good youth, or it will fall to cureless ruin. I stand here for law.
This letter from Bellario doth command a young and learned doctor to our court. Where is he?
He attendeth here hard by to know your answer, whether you'll admit him.
With all my heart, some three or four of you, go give him courteous conduct to this place. Meantime, the court shall hear Bellario's letter.
Your grace shall understand that the receipt of your letter, I am very sick. But in the instant that your messenger came in loving visitation was with me a young doctor from Rome. His name is Balthazar. I acquainted him with the cause and controversy between the Jew and Antonio the merchant. We turned o'er many books together. He is very furnished, in my opinion, which bettered with his own learning the greatness whereof I can't enough commend. Comes with them at my importunity to fill up your grace's request in my stead. I beseech you, let his lack of years be no impediment to let him lack a reverend estimation, for I never knew so young a body with so old a head. I leave him to your gracious acceptance, whose trial shall better publish his commendation.
You hear the learned Bellario. What he writes, and here I take it. Is the doctor come?
Enter Portia, dressed like a doctor of laws.
Give me your hand. Come you from old Bellario?
I did, my lord.
You are welcome. Take your place. Are you acquainted with the difference that holds this present question in the court?
I am informed thoroughly of the cause. Which is the merchant here, and which is the Jew?
Antonio and old Shylock both stand forth.
Is your name Shylock?
Shylock is my name.
Of strange nature is the suit you follow, yet in such rule that the Venetian law cannot impute you as you proceed. You stand within the danger, do you not?
Aye, so he says.
Do you confess the bond?
I do.
Then must the Jew be merciful?
On what compulsion must I? Tell me that.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than the crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above all this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself, and earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy seasons justice. Therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. I have spoke thus much to mitigate the justice of thy plea, which if thou follow, this strict court of Venice must needs give sentence against the merchant there.
My deeds upon my head! I crave the law, the penalty and forfeit of my bond.
Is he not able to discharge the money?
Yes, here I tender it for him in the court. Yea, twice the sum, if that will not suffice. I will be bound to pay it 10 times o'er. On forfeit my hands, my head, my heart, it is this will not suffice. It must appear that malice bears down truth, and I beseech you, wretch, once the law to your authority, to do a great right, do little wrong, and curb this cruel devil of his will.
It must not be. There's no power in Venice can alter a decree established. 'Twill be recorded for a precedent, and many an error by the same example will rush into the state. It cannot be.
A Daniel come to judgment. Yea, a Daniel. O wise young judge, how I do honor thee.
I pray you, let me look upon the bond.
Here 'tis, most reverend doctor. Here 'tis.
Shylock, there's thrice the money offered thee.
An oath, I have an oath in heaven. Shall I lay perjury upon my soul? No, not for Venice.
Why, this bond is forfeit, and lawfully by this Jew may claim a pound of flesh to be cut off nearest the merchant's heart. Be merciful. Take thrice the money. Bid me tear the bond.
When it is paid according to the tenor, if doth appear you are worthy judge, you know the law, your exposition hath been most sound. I charge you by the law, whereof you are a well-deserving pillar, proceed to judgment. By my soul I swear there is no power in the tongue of man to alter me. I stay here on my bond.
Most heartily I do beseech the court to give the judgment.
Why then, thus it is. You must prepare your bosom for his knife.
Oh, noble judge! Oh, excellent young man!
For the intent and purpose of the law have full relation to the penalty, which here appeareth due upon the bond.
'Tis very true, O wise and upright judge. How much more elder art thou than thy looks?
Therefore lay bare your bosom.
Aye, his breast! So says the bond. Doth it now, noble judge. Nearest his heart, those are the very words.
It is so. Are there balance here to weigh the flesh?
I have them ready.
Have by some surgeon Shylock on your charge to stop his wounds, lest he do bleed to death?
Is it so nominated in the bond?
It is not so expressed, but what of that? 'Twere good you to do so much for charity?
I cannot find it. 'Tis not in the bond.
You, merchant, have you anything to say?
But little. I am armed and well prepared. Give me your hand, Bassanio. Fare you well. Grieve not that I am fallen to this for you, for herein fortune shows herself most kind than is her custom. It is still her use to let the wretched man outlive his wealth, to view his hollow eye and wrinkled brow an age of poverty, from which lingering penance of such misery doth she cut me off. Commend me to your honorable wife. Tell her the process of Antonio's death. Say how I loved you. Speak me fair in death. And when the tale is told, bid her be judge whether Bassanio had not a love once. Repent but you that you shall lose your friend, and he repents not that he pays your debt. For if the Jew do cut but deep enough, I'll pay it instantly with all my heart.
Antonio, I am married to a wife, which is as dear to me as life itself. But life itself, my wife, and all the world are not with thee esteemed above thy life. I would lose all, I sacrifice them all, here to this devil to deliver you.
Your wife would give you little thanks for that if she were by to hear you make the offer, wink.
I have a wife whom I protest I love. I would she were in heaven so she could entreat some power to change this currish Jew.
'Tis well you offer it behind her back. The wish would make else an unquiet house.
Perhaps.
These be the Christian husbands. I have a daughter. Would any of the stock of Barabbas had been her husband rather than a Christian? We trifle time, I pray thee. Pursue sentence.
A pound of that same merchant's flesh is thine. The court awards it, and the law doth give it.
Most rightful judge!
And you must cut this flesh from off his breast. The law allows it, and the court awards it.
Most learned judge! A sentence! Come, prepare!
Tarry a little. There is something else. The bond doth give thee here no jot of blood. The words expressly are, a pound of flesh. Take then thy bond, take thou thy pound of flesh, but in the cutting it, if thou dost shed one drop of Christian blood, thy lands and goods are, by the laws of Venice, confiscate unto the state of Venice.
O upright judge, mark Jew, O learned judge.
Is that the law?
Thyself shall see the act, for as thou urgest justice, be assured, thou shalt have justice, more than thou desirest.
O learned judge, mark Jew, a learned judge.
I take this offer then, pay the bond thrice, and let the Christian go.
Here is the money.
Soft! The Jew shall have all justice. Soft, no haste. He shall have nothing but the penalty.
O Jew, an upright judge, a learned judge.
Therefore, prepare thee to cut off the flesh. Shed thou no blood, nor cut thou less nor more, but just a pound of flesh. If thou cuttest more or less than just pound, be it but so much as makes it light or heavy in the substance, or the division of the 20th part, or one poor scruple. Nay, if the scale do turn but in the estimation of a hair, thou diest, and all thy goods are confiscate.
A second Daniel? A Daniel? Jew! Now, infidel, I have you on the hip.
Why doth the Jew pause? Take thy forfeiture.
Give me my principal and let me go.
I have it ready for thee. Here it is.
He hath refused it in open court. He shall have merely justice and his bond.
A Daniel, still say I, a second Daniel. I thank thee, Jew, for teaching me that word,
shall
Daniel.
Shall I not have barely my principal?
Thou shalt have nothing but the forfeiture, to be so taken at thy peril, Jew.
Why, then the devil give him good of it. I'll stay a little longer question.
Tarry, Jew, the law hath yet another hold on you. It is enacted in the laws of Venice that if be proved against an alien that by direct or indirect attempts he seeks the life of any citizen, the party against the which he doth contrive shall seize one half his goods. The other half comes to the privy coffer of the state, and the offender's life lies in the mercy of the Duke only, gainst all other voice. In which predicament I say thou standest, for it appears by manifest proceeding that indirectly and directly too thou hast contrived against the very life of the defendant, and thou hast incurred the danger formerly by me rehearsed. Down therefore and beg mercy of the Duke.
Beg that thou mayst have learned to have leave to hang thyself, and yet thy wealth being forfeit to the state, thou hast not left the value of a cord. Therefore thou must be hanged at the state's charge.
That thou shalt see the difference of our spirits, I pardon thee thy life before thou ask it. For half thy wealth it is Antonio's, the other half comes to the general state, which humbleness may drive unto a fine.
Aye, for the state, not for Antonio.
Nay, take my life and I'll pardon not that. You take my house when you do take the prop that doth sustain my house. You take my life when you do take the means whereby I live.
What mercy can you render him, Antonio?
A halter gratis, nothing else, for God's sake.
So please, my lord the Duke, and all the court, to quit the fine for one half of his goods, I am content. So he will let me have the other half in use, to render it upon his death unto the gentleman that lately stole his daughter. Two things provided more, that for this favor he presently become a Christian. The other, that he do record a gift here in the court of all he dies possessed unto his lord Lorenzo and his daughter.
He shall do this, or else I do recant the pardon that I late pronounced here.
Art thou contented, Jew? What dost thou say?
I am content.
Clerk, draw a deed of gift.
I pray you give me leave to go from hence. I am not well. Send the deed after me, and I will sign it.
Get thee gone, but do it.
In christening shalt thou have two godfathers? Had I been the judge, thou shouldest have 10 more to bring thee to the gallows. Gallows, not the font.
Exit Shylock.
Sir, I entreat your home with me to dinner.
I humbly do desire your grace pardon. I must away this night toward Padua, and it is meet I presently set forth.
I am sorry that your leisure serves you not. Antonio, gratify this man, for in my mind you are much bound to him.
Excellent Duke and his train.
Most worthy gentlemen, I and my friend, have by your wisdom been this day acquitted of grievous penalties, in lieu whereof 3,000 ducats due unto the Jew. We freely cope your courteous pains withal.
And stand indebted over and above in love and service to you evermore.
He is well paid, and that is well satisfied. And I, delivering you, am satisfied. And therein do account myself well paid. My mind was never yet more mercenary. I pray you, know me when we meet again. I wish you well, and so I take my leave.
Dear sir, of course I must attempt you further. Take some remembrance of us as tribute, not as a fee. Grant me two things, I pray you, not to deny me and to pardon me.
You press me far, and therefore I will yield. Give me your gloves. I'll wear them for your sake, and for your love I'll take this ring from you. Do not draw back your hand. I'll take no more, and you in love shall not deny me this.
This ring... Good sir, alas, it is a trifle. I will not shame myself to give you this.
I will have nothing else but only this, and now methinks I have a mind to it.
There's more depends on this than on the value. The dearest ring in Venice will I give you, and find it out by proclamation. Only this, I pray you pardon me.
I see. Sir, you are liberal in offers. You taught me first to beg, and now methinks you teach me how a beggar should be answered.
Good sir, this ring was given to me by my wife. And when she puts it, and when she put it on, she made me vow that I should neither sell nor give nor lose it.
That excuse serves many men to save their gifts. And if your wife be not a mad woman, and know how well I have deserved the ring, she would not hold out enemy forever. For giving it to me, well, peace be with you.
Excellent Portia and Nerissa.
My lord Bassanio, let him have the ring. Let his deservings and my love withal be valued against your wife's commandment.
Go, Latanio, ride and overtake him. Give him the ring and bring him, if thou canst, unto Antonio's house. Away! Make haste.
Exit Graziano.
Come, you and I will thither presently, and in the morning early we'll both fly toward Belmont. Come, Antonio.
Exit.
Oof, heavy. Heavy stuff. All right, we'll move on to Act 2, or Scene 2, because it's very short. We're doing a bit of a switch of readers here, because Stephanie Forrester is not in the room, and nor is Julia May. I'll continue with Portia, Nerissa, Stephanie, you got that one?
Yeah.
And Graziano will be Eric Jean.
Yep.
You can take that away, now that your Antonio has just ruined everything for everybody. So, Act 2, the same street. Enter Portia and Nerissa. Inquire the juice house. Give him this deed and let him sign it. We'll away tonight and be a day before our husband's home. This deed will be well welcome to Lorenzo. Enter Graziano.
Fair sir, you are well o'ertaken. My lord Bassanio, upon more advice, has sent you here this ring and doth entreat your company at dinner.
That cannot be. His ring I do accept most thankfully, and so I pray you tell him furthermore, I pray you. Show my youth old Shylock's house.
That will I do.
Sir, I would speak with you.
Aside to Portia.
I'll see if I can get my husband's ring, which I did make him swear to keep forever.
Thou mayest, I warrant. We shall have old swearing that they did give the rings away to men, and we'll outface them and outswear them too. Away! Make haste, thou knowest where I will tarry.
Come, good sir, will you show me to this house?
Excellent. Tricky girls. Yeah. Take the rings back that they gave to their husbands, so to make it all...
So they can one-up them later.
Sneaky.
It's not the best... I don't know, I have a hard time with this. It kind of bothers me because it's so... After the heavy scene one, this sort of goofy ring swap exchange, but...
It all plays into this justice, mercy... business, right? Like the guys don't have all the full picture, and so the women, so it's almost like this is about teaching the audience a lesson. It isn't about the guys, like,
and it's sort of, it's very fun to watch. I said that last week. Yeah. How when you see it in on stage, it kind of, it plays really well because it's these universal cat and mouse girlfriend boyfriend games. Oh, yeah. And it's pretty good. So thus ends Act 4, the heavy scene. Shylock doesn't return, and we will...
Antonio does, though.
Antonio does, and we'll meet you in Scene 5, Act 5, which is kind of an interesting act. So join us next week, and we will do Act 5, which is a short one. Thank you.
Sonnet 15. When I consider everything that grows, holds in perfection but a little moment... that this huge stage presenteth not but shows, whereon the stars in secret influence comment, when I perceive that men as plants increase, cheered and checked even by the selfsame sky, vaunt in their youthful sap, at height decrease, and wear their brave state out of memory. Then the conceit of this inconstant stay sets you most rich in youth before my sight. Where wasteful time debateth with decay, to change your day of youth to sullied night. And all in war with time for love of you, as he takes from you, I engraft you new.